Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Lux Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Lux Cafe. Shop now.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar, a man who is actually wearing a relatively normal outfit tonight.
I didn't even recognize him tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. There's no, like, Lakeview jerseys or anything like that. No gold. I think the only piece of jewelry on you right now is a wedding ring, correct?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen this, ever.
He's going minimalist on us
what
tonight.
Am I wearing?
I don't know, but I'm worried about you. Are you okay?
Well, I'm going to tell you. This is time to get down to business attire right here.
Okay, so
no,
this is
no bling,
time.
No drip, no flash. Mm. It's time to get down to business week.
Okay.
Only I got my Bama away hat on and then my lucky Bama shirt.
Okay.
And it's time to take care of business.
Well,
all business. I almost wore my tie. My Alabama tie.
Would have went great with the rest of the outfit.
My houndstooth hat's being cleaned right now. So
you got a houndstooth hat cleaner guy?
Well, dry cleaner.
Oh, okay.
Well, apparently he is all business tonight.
Yeah.
And he
all
is
business.
The fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
Big game Saturday.
That's right. And we're going to talk all about rivalry week as we have. I mean, it was kind of weird when I was coming up with the kind of the outline of stuff we were going to talk about on the show. It does not seem that long ago that we were like, oh my God, only three more days till the start of the college football season. We finally made it. And now we're here at the end.
I was counting down days till we started doing previews for college football, for conference previews. So like, yeah, it's the quickest sports season out of all sports seasons. It comes in hard and fast. That's why like people are like, I can't believe you spend all days on Saturdays through the fall watching football. I'm like, you don't understand. I've got 13 of these. 13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 14 with week zero. 13 and a half. So you have to use them while you got them, man.
And, you know, it is rivalry week this week, and we're going to talk about a couple of games with some – playoff implications that also cross over into rivalry week. But, you know, There aren't a lot of those this year. Either one team is, you know, a 30-point favorite like an IU is against Purdue, or...
And even if you guys lost to Purdue, you're still in the playoff, I think.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
They would be in the playoff. It would be, I mean, that would be the most catastrophic loss in the history of modern Indiana football if something weird like that was to happen, because my whole sole focus is on the following Saturday night when we, as a podcast collective, are all going to be in downtown Indianapolis for a potential Indiana-Ohio State Big Ten championship game. Which,
what are the scenarios that would make that not happen?
Okay, so, and I forgive me for not knowing this all verbatim, but here's the general outline. If Indiana wins and Ohio State wins, it's IU and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. If Indiana wins, Michigan wins, and Oregon loses, it's Indiana, Michigan. If Indiana wins, Michigan wins, and Oregon wins, it's Indiana, Oregon. And there are others. If Indiana loses,
and they're not going to.
There's a couple of other things happen. It could end up being like Ohio State and Oregon. But, I mean, basically, if Indiana wins, they're likely playing Ohio State. But it could be Ohio State, Oregon, or Michigan.
I mean, it is a bigger rival than Bama and Auburn. So I would say that the Indiana-Purdue game is going to be
easy.
I'm just saying. Like, when I think of football rivalries, they're up there.
Oh, yeah.
The little brown jug. Or what is it?
The little brown
old oaken bucket.
Old oaken bucket.
The little brown jug.
If you would look right over here over your left shoulder, you will see a facsimile of said old oaken bucket right over there.
I have no clue what a facsimile is, but it looks like one to me.
Where is the iron ball you're fighting to still live in your house, possibly? fighting for your life.
So that's, basically – Indiana wins. They take care of business, as they very well should. And we're looking at Indiana in the Big Ten championship game for the first time ever, and playing in a game that will decide the Big Ten champion for the first time, I think, since 1988. I believe Indiana played Michigan State 2 years in a row where if Indiana would have won, they would have gone to the Rose Bowl. But they lost both times. So, anyway.
And you all did say, I was sorry, I was looking at something, but you did say that if Ohio State loses to Michigan, they're still in it.
Not in the Big Ten championship game.
Okay, so they're not. Even though Michigan has.
If Oregon loses, then Michigan would get in. If Ohio State and Oregon both lose, then Michigan would get in.
Yes.
All right.
That's right. So Ohio State's 8-0 in the conference. Michigan is 7-1 in the conference.
And they would have
the tiebreaker. And they would win the tiebreaker if they beat them. I got you.
So,
but now if Oregon was – so all right, never mind. I got it.
Yeah.
And Michigan's been putting it together a little bit better, but I –
well,
just,
you know, hey, weird things happen in these rivalry games. The game's in the Big House.
We know this.
They keep beating Ryan Day. Yeah. Like, it don't matter where they play
that
game.
I know.
The game's in the Big House.
That is the Big House.
There's going to be a
– and Michigan wins, and they're in the playoff. I mean,
if Ohio State loses to Michigan again – Ryan Day, like, this is a guy that just won a national championship.
Yeah.
And he is not, like, they're going to hate his guts still.
There will be a significant portion of the fan base that wants him fired.
Yeah. This is crazy.
I mean, honestly. Want to remind everybody we are on social media. Unfortunately, last week there was some technical issues, and we were not able to get our TikTok video out. Hopefully that is...
If you find it, it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, hopefully that'll...
If you're able to find it.
That'll be rectified. Of course, our TikTok picks went 4-1 last week.
4-1.
And unfortunately, you were not able to capitalize on that. Our picks in general last week, we finally climbed back up over the 500 mark as a collective. We went 11-9, which brings our overall season record to a still very respectable 129-101. So we're 29 games over 500 with a push.
Not bad.
I'll take that all
day
long.
And we're coming in. This is the last week for picks.
Yeah, the last week for where we'll have the full picks.
Do you have track of each of our records?
I can go back and find that, yes.
We need to look to see who our winner is.
Yep, and I can go back and do that, and we'll
all buy them a drink in Indy.
I thought it was a bucket of chestnuts, roasting on an open fire.
What, you roast water chestnuts on open fires?
No, chestnuts.
I thought you said water chestnuts.
Oh, my bad.
So, I wanted to start the show this week, just quickly. I'm not going to take a ton of time on it, but I wanted to talk a little bit. Colin was in the studio with us last week, and we were getting ready to go down to LSU for football weekend. And I just wanted to talk about the experience and some things from that trip and how awesome it was. And for college football fan, like, I think the way we did it was awesome. We went down, we left on Thursday night or Thursday afternoon. We drove to Tuscaloosa. We spent the night, Thursday night, in Tuscaloosa. Went out to a couple different places, Bama-centric places, of course. Friday morning, we got up. Freddie had told us everywhere we needed to go on campus to see all the cool stuff. We did all that. We saw Denny Chimes and the captain's footprints and handprints and their autographs and like the Hollywood Walk of Fame type thing. We
Welcome
saw
champions with the statues.
Saw all the statues of the championship coaches up close and personal to the stadium. They were setting up for their game on Saturday, the tailgates. So we got a sense of what that would look like. And then we, on Freddie's recommendation, we went to lunch before we left for Baton Rouge to a place called Archibald
Woodrow's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is, and I do not say this lightly, it is one of the all-time, if you picture in your mind what a barbecue shack in the South is.
Yes.
Perfect. This is it. I mean, this is it.
Yeah, it's not dreamland.
No.
And it was only locals there, of course, except for us. And The people there aren't wearing, like, that work there are not wearing uniforms or anything like that. There
cafeteria
was,
bowls.
There was one guy.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, did you ever watch House of Cards?
That's what I
want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I told Jenny.
Yeah, the place that Frank drove down to in the bad part of town.
That's exactly what I told Jenny. I said, this reminds me of Frank Underwood's rib place in House of Cards. It's just like that.
Yeah.
And
you know, they have a door in the back, you probably didn't know this, where a lot of people pick up their to-go for the games. They don't have them walk into the thing. The ones that call the orders in.
Right.
Now they can go into the front if you drive there to get it, but if you call it in, you pick it up out the back, you don't even walk in there. It's cool.
Now you know how those offensive linemen get so big.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, the food was fantastic. I got ribs and mashed potatoes and gravy and fried okra, and Colin got I don't even know, some sort of combo plate. It had pork and macaroni and cheese and something, other meat or something. And the food was fantastic. Some of the best barbecue ever. But you know what the best thing that I tasted was?
That piece of white bread that they put on the bottom of it. It soaks up all the juice.
That was fantastic. But Colin and I both, and I was going to wait for him to say something, because Colin is a sweet tea freak, and so am I. And we got in the car, and we were going to get gas, and my thought, well, I was going to wait a minute and go, what was the best thing about that? And we had no more, got in the car, and we're pulling out of the parking lot. He goes, that's the best sweet tea I've ever had in my life. And I said, you know what? I never get refill on a drink when I leave. I poured ice out so I could get more tea for the drive.
You know it's good when it makes your teeth hurt.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that was correct, so they had the sweet tea. Then they had two different kinds of Kool-Aid in pitchers.
Yeah.
And then they had a thing of lemonade, and I said, you know that Kool-Aid was just as good.
Dude, Arnie Palmer with the lemonade. Yeah. All day.
So that was awesome. Then we drove to Baton Rouge. We got there. We stayed at a casino hotel called La Berge, which for anybody that likes to gamble or likes to go to casinos and stuff, and you're like a Vegas person that knows what Vegas was like 30 years ago, go to La Berge. It's Vegas 30 years ago. Free cocktails, inexpensive. They don't nickel dime you on the tables. There's no triple zeros on a roulette wheel. They play the kind of blackjack where they that Vegas used to, where it doesn't favor the house as much, whether it's shorter decks or
like
whatever.
Yeah.
They play that. And the dealers are so much more laid back, if you can imagine that. The video poker, as long as you're sitting at the video poker machine, I put $20 in, played with $20 for like 2.5 hours. Saturday night, we got in late after the game, and I asked the lady, like, what kind of red wine do you have? And she said, well, we have this. I said, well, just give me the best red that you have. And it was totally free. Mm-hmm. Every time when I stood up to leave, I gave her a $10 bill. That was it. Gambled for literally 2.5 hours on $20.
Now, I've never ordered wine in a casino. Do they put it in a plastic cup?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. This is a classy joint.
Okay.
The sports book
was
great.
Well, you'd like to think Vegas is classy.
But they nickel dime.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
So bad.
It's garbage. It's like $25 for a little Bloody Mary in a plastic cup.
Yeah. And there's none of that there.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Gotta thank Johnny Satterfield, who kind of was our host for the whole thing. The game day experience at LSU was something that I'll never forget. We were on the field for close to an hour before the game. The game itself, we're not going to talk about, because it was maybe one of the worst football games that I've ever seen. Western Kentucky almost beat them. But then after the game, we got a tour of the LSU football facilities, and we were the only people in the building, I think, besides from coaches and staff, which was super cool. Got to see Johnny's family and friends and his wife and everything. And then on recommendations from Josh and Haley, a couple friends that are from down there, we ended up at Phil's Oyster Bar for dinner. It was fantastic. I just can't say enough good things about, and I would love to go back and spend 3 or 4 days, even if there's not a football game, and just see, because we didn't really see all that much of Baton Rouge.
How far of a drive is it?
It's about 10 and a half hours.
So about the same as New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't bad.
No.
We took 2 days going down. We drove all the way back on Sunday. Listen to that Colts Chiefs game on the radio.
We'll talk about that later.
Will we?
Yeah, maybe.
I might put you on mute. No, it was fantastic.
We needed it more than you guys did.
Yeah, probably. It was just a fantastic trip. Colin said it probably better than I could. when we were getting our stuff packed up on Sunday to leave, and I said, what did you think about yesterday or about this trip? He said, this may be the greatest weekend of my life.
Awesome.
So it was super cool.
Well, next year, podcast trip, for
yes,
sure. It's
yes,
happening.
Yes, we will make sure that we get down there for a podcast trip next year. Now, with all that being said, I was pretty much incommunicado from a standpoint of getting to watch a lot of different football games.
You didn't miss nothing, man.
Because we were, you know, busy the whole time. So I wanted to just talk to you guys about anything that kind of stuck out or if there was any games. I know a lot of people were thinking that the Kentucky-Vanderbilt game might be relatively close. It was not. Vandy just laid the hammer down.
There was two games that were enjoyable. I think it was maybe the worst day of college football that I think I've ever watched from front to finish. The South Carolina-Texas A&M game was incredible. South Carolina jumped up. What were they up, 23 to nothing?
Oh, wait. That was last week.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't even hold on. That's 2 weeks
maybe
ago.
Maybe you fell asleep.
I'm thinking the Kansas State and Utah game, 51-47. There was like they were all at each other. Texas A&M played Stanford.
They were going
this
week. back and forth.
Yeah. What was the other game? TCU Houston.
Oh, yeah.
I watched this one big time because I had money on Houston, obviously, and they just blew it, man. Willie Fritz's team is folded up. So, not a lot really going on there. That Hoover kid looked pretty good, but this was all a defensive game. There was not a lot of real offense in this game.
How about Notre Dame being ahead like 50-0 or whatever at halftime against Syracuse?
Oh, dude! Like, well, they were up like 21-0 before like a minute was off the clock.
They hadn't snapped. They didn't have an offensive snap, and they were up 21-0.
It was absurd.
Texas Arkansas would have been entertaining if you like to see offense. 52-37. Illinois had one of the most inexplicable losses of the whole season, giving up 27 points to a Wisconsin team that hadn't scored 14. Since week three.
Right. Yeah. Oregon took off on USC. They tried to keep it close. Oklahoma slowly took away from Missouri played tough.
That was
in
a
that
defensive game.
Throughout. It really was. Yeah. And Missouri played their hearts out. And the same with BYU Cincinnati. Cincinnati went back and forth first half.
I felt like,
and then BYU pulled away at the end.
I felt like BYU kind of controlled that game though.
They did.
Like,
yeah,
it wasn't the score wasn't relative
and
to the game.
If you listened to this program last week and you took my advice, and you knew that there was 0.0% chance that Cincinnati could win that game or cover the spread, I hope you made a lot of money.
Yeah. I hear you. James Madison had a real tight game versus Washington State, who's given everybody hell, who's given all these small schools hell throughout the year.
They've almost won a bunch of games.
They literally have. The TCU-Houston game was a lot of fun, like Tuna said. Arizona is on a hot streak right now,
playing well.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to beat Michigan State at home. The big game that stood out to me was the humongous choke by Georgia Tech.
I was just about to ask.
Their damnedest to come back in that game, but
You go down 21-0.
That was a buzzsaw.
It's hard enough for any team to come back 21-0. It's even harder for Georgia Tech to come back down or 21-0.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and Pitt, like, the way that they got manhandled by Notre Dame,
I know.
You knew that they were going to put up a fight here, and I didn't think Brett Key would fall down like this, but that. The way that it jumped out that quick, they couldn't recover. They tried like hell. But I don't know. It's, I think there's something with the ACC where no team wants to win the league. They're all just like agreeing. Like it's like, hold this. No, no, I'm running away from it. Like hot potato. That's what it is.
I mean, it was just, it was like, I just don't like, I've never seen nothing like
what
it.
What are the, we talked about the scenarios for the Big Ten championship game. What's the scenario for the ACC championship game? Is it locked in? Does it?
No, I think there's
tons of scenarios.
There's
right
actually
here.
A scenario for a, was it a six-way tie for?
Well, you got Virginia in the driver's seat. They're they're atop the standings. They play Virginia Tech. Okay, that'll be a.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Tough game at Tech. Pitt is obviously at home versus Miami.
Yeah.
And Miami and Pitt, one of those two teams, whoever wins that game, as far as I know, well, then you got SMU who's 6-1 and they're at Cal.
Yeah.
So I don't know who.
If Miami, was to beat them.
I think Miami beat SMU, did they not? Or
no,
did
they
SMU,
lost SMU.
Well, then
but
SMU
here's
can
the deal
get
here.
In.
If Cal was to beat SMU, which is possible, that creates like a six-way tie of all these 6-2 teams.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to there's just insane amount of tiebreakers. And my understanding it that if this comes down to
and
the
Georgia
six-way
Tech
tie,
doesn't play any.
It comes down to the third from the bottom, like two spots away from coin tosses.
Okay. And Georgia Tech doesn't have to play anyone. They play Georgia. So that loss, if they lose – doesn't count.
No.
So they're sitting there at 6-2, and they're not even playing in an ACC game. So, yes, it can go. There's five teams involved still left in the ACC. I went through down the line of each conference and how many teams are still left that have a running chance in all of them. And if everybody does what they're supposed to do, it's going to be Virginia and Pitt in the ACC championship game.
Even if Miami beats?
I mean, I'm saying if Pitt...
If everybody does what they're supposed to do, so you would think Miami was supposed to beat Pitt.
Right, right.
Because they're going to be favored. They're favored.
Yeah.
So it would be Miami
and
Virginia.
It would be Miami and Virginia or Pitt and Virginia.
And honestly, Miami's probably the best representative to go to the playoff. Yeah. They have the best chance to win a game in the playoff.
But other inquiry minds like myself want Miami to lose.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would never pull
Miami. And I hate to say that, but if Miami doesn't win, I don't think that there is going to be an ACC
representative. And that's what I want to happen. Because I don't think any team deserves to be in the playoff from this conference.
So, but because my, I
you
think
should all
gonna,
get relegated
we're going
to
find,
FCS.
Yeah, we're going to find out tonight, Travis, in the picks that, and I think Miami will still be, fair. You know, they will be the best representative, and maybe Pitt will have moved up because they beat Georgia Tech, who was ranked fairly high. I think if Pitt loses, yeah, that I don't think they're going to have a
selection show on right now.
I just don't think they're going to let it's in between the games. I think it comes on at 8 o'clock in 10 minutes.
A halftime.
So there's your ACC thing, Travis.
Oh, I believe Tuna, it's after this USC game that has 1 second left.
Gotcha.
And then the Big 12 is the same way. I mean, there's four teams left. And believe it or not, Arizona State still has a chance. But if everything does what it's supposed to do, Tuna, it's Texas Tech and BYU, which is what we want.
And that's what we want to see.
That's what we want. But
I wouldn't mind Texas, seeing another Utah BYU game though, but like Texas Tech deserves
right,
to be in that.
Right, and they're at West Virginia and one's at Central Florida. They're gonna win.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna handle that. What about the SEC boys?
You tell me the scenarios.
Well, I got Texas A&M's playing at Texas. Bama at Auburn. Obviously, you know how that goes.
Does Bama still have it?
Bama's 6-1. Georgia, how did Georgia get 7-1? And I've looked this up. This is legit. Texas A&M and Georgia are both 7-1. Bama and Ole Miss are 6-1.
So Georgia doesn't play a SEC game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They got Georgia.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So you you guys would win the tiebreaker over Georgia, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Texas A&M is if they lose, then it's like I said, Georgia's already they don't play Georgia Tech, so they're just sitting there.
So let me ask you this: with Bama on the cusp of the playoff, if they went to the SEC championship game and lost,
I don't think they get penalized for it.
Okay.
That's what I've been hearing.
I don't think they should.
Right. That's what I've been hearing. But
that's
a big deal.
This was last year when we had this argument about SMU, whether they should
get in or not. Now, if they got blown out, I don't know.
See, if they would have left SMU out last year, then that would have set the precedent.
I know. I know. So, because that is a big – that's a great question.
That guy, the new chairman or whatever, in the interview I saw, whether this changes or not, I don't know. But unequivocally, he said, no team that makes their championship game will be penalized for getting beat.
Now, I don't believe anything that any of those people
say. I don't either.
They say that they sit down and watch all the games, and I doubt that, too. And I don't think athletic directors should be part of it anyway.
But this SEC thing's crazy. But really, if you look down the line, they all beat, like, Bama beat Georgia. Georgia's next in line. They beat Ole Miss. That's who's next in line. You see what I'm saying? So there's there are tie break winners on the main.
So if you
one
guys just
teams.
Do the same thing that Kentucky did and beat Auburn, then then you're fine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, buddy.
How difficult can it be? Jesus.
Yeah.
Then let's see here. Those are the main conferences. Everybody else, James Madison's going to win theirs.
God, it looks like an awful
at Coastal Carolina. I think the Mountain West has an interesting one. San Diego State is 9-2. UNLV's 9-2. One plays New Mexico, who's third in the conference. San Diego State does. So UNLV could come out of the Mountain West at 9-2. Tulane, I don't know. I just find it interesting that there is no. We kept saying Tulane is going to play Memphis. That is over.
Yeah, that's
we said
happened.
That last week though.
Okay,
that we said Tulane's going to. Well, it depends on what they meant. North Texas should be ranked at 10-1.
Well, they are
in the AAC,
and they will be tonight.
They will be tonight.
They were ranked ahead of Tulane in the AP poll.
But they should be in this because they have a better record than Tulane, and they're probably going to win their conference.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but they should be the representative of the group of five.
Well, they're going to play in their conference championship game.
Right.
So
whoever wins that
is
probably going to make it.
Yeah, which I'm good with. I think the AAC was the toughest group of five. Hell, I think they were a better league than
the
ACC.
The only thing we could say is if San Diego State or UNLV and San Diego State won and had two losses,
and then no ACC,
James
team
Madison
gets
would
in.
Be the only team with one loss.
I'm not even going to entertain.
Yeah,
that
we're
shit.
Done on that.
Where do you guys think Vandy is going to be in this thing, today?
Dude? That's a whole nother ball of wax.
So what if like
depends? And, is his mom on the committee?
They need Miami to lose. Does Bama.
This is strictly a hypothetical, but what if Bama loses? What if Georgia loses? Who else is in front of them in the SEC?
Well, Georgia can't lose in the SEC.
Well, no.
Oh, just period?
I just mean,
yeah.
Who's ahead of them in the playoff rankings? They all lose and Vandy beats Tennessee at Tennessee?
Well,
they jump up into the top 12?
Well, they can't pass Bama if Bama loses, because then they'll have the same record. Well, no, they won't. They'll have one more loss, so they are, because they did beat them.
Right.
I don't know. That makes my head hurt to think that Bama, Georgia, A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Texas are all going to lose.
Yeah,
I can tell you Oklahoma ain't going to get beat by LSU. Miss can definitely lose the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
And they're saying Ole Miss, if they were to lose the Egg Bowl and they lose their coach, they may not get in losses.
That's a legitimate possibility.
Could you imagine being up in the front, ranked high as Ole Miss, then you lose your coach, you're still 10-2, and you don't make it?
Tulane at 24.
Okay, so North Texas, let's see if they're at 20.
Well, they're not going to be. There's no way that
they're 21 in the AP. They could be 20 in here. God, those uniforms are sweet.
Yeah,
they are sweet. Wait till you see the mean green, baby.
They're green. Yeah, but gotta love Jake Ratzlaff.
I mean, and quite frankly, I have the worst losses, and Tulane Tulane has one of the worst losses. You know who has the worst loss of all these teams that are involved in this top 25?
Bama.
No.
It's Bama.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, who?
Texas. They lost to Florida. They're 3-8. Florida State is 5-6. It doesn't matter how you slice it, the record's better.
Okay.
All
right, so no North Texas.
After that, every team that lost to a good team, Tulane lost to Texas San Antonio. Texas, Bama, Virginia, Miami, Georgia Tech. I found it interesting to find out what the worst loss of all these teams was, and I thought it was Bama, but it's not.
Well, we're 20, Arizona State, Tennessee, Virginia, USC.
Yeah, North Texas is not. They got hosed again.
Well, they're going to have a shot to beat Tulane in the AAC championship.
And maybe they didn't put them in because their head coach is leaving. I don't know. He just said he's going to stay with them the whole time.
What's Michigan's two losses?
Michigan's two losses are Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And where is it? Yeah. Is that Washington?
No, they beat Washington. It might have been somebody at the beginning of the year. Although they played Oklahoma.
Was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they played
Oklahoma
early.
Was the beginning of the year.
It had to be a conference game. They got one conference loss.
Oh, here it is. Michigan lost to USC.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
See.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
So there's Vandy at 14. That cut line's 10, Travis.
Yep.
So,
yep.
If they beat Tennessee, there is definitely a chance.
But they need some things to happen.
Yeah, they need some
help. A lot of people need Miami to lose and just get the hell out of there, including me.
They said that, like, teams would – how did Utah drop a spot?
What?
Whatever.
I mean, I don't know how they dropped a spot. I guess because they won by I'll tell you why.
They only won by four.
They only won by four to a team that has a losing record.
Yeah, even though they've been playing better football,
right?
It was at home,
but it was at home, and they lost to a team that
I don't like that.
And Miami moves ahead of them.
So if Miami gets to the ACC championship game and loses. Like, Virginia shouldn't be in.
No.
Miami shouldn't be in, but then you're penalizing a conference
for them being in the championship game. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Miami is a major X factor in this whole thing. Miami and Pitt. And I don't think Pitt's going to get in. If they win the ACC, I still don't think Pitt's going to get in.
Well, they're ranked, what did we say, 21st or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So isn't that crazy? So,
yeah.
So if someone, the conference champion of the ACC would not get in if my, so you either have Miami or nothing.
Yeah.
That's certainly what it's seems like it's boiling down to.
And Miami can knock a couple teams out, mainly a team like Bama. Well, Bama wins, they're in, but a team like Vandy, a team like Texas, because don't forget Texas is playing at Texas A&M.
Isn't that game at Texas?
No, yes, it is at Texas. Yeah, yeah, that's gonna be a game, bro.
Bama at 10, Notre Dame at 9.
They never changed.
Yeah, these,
so they're all gonna remain the same.
This is...
Dude, Oregon can lose at Washington. I'm telling you
they absolutely could.
Yeah, that's not a shocker at all.
Yeah,
they absolutely could.
That's only a 7-point spread, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So this weekend, a lot of eyes are going to be on ACC. A lot of eyes are going to be on. Well, and don't forget, North Texas still has to beat Temple. Tulane has to beat Charlotte. Those are gonna, you know,
a lot of people are picking Temple in the upset
and
over North Texas.
And I guess they're gonna.
I know it.
Like who? Dude, Navy's 9-2 and has to play at Memphis and Army.
Yeah,
that's a pretty damn good resume if they beat both of those teams and 11-2.
Don't understand how the timing of that would happen.
I don't either, but remember that's what last year when Army Navy had that game and everyone's like,
What if one of these
gets
for a conference championship?
Yeah. So It's kind of nuts. The SEC and the ACC are pretty much crazy right now. Those two conferences, and really, and with the SEC, there's three of six trying to get in there, maybe four, and then the ACC is trying to get one in there. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't get in, you know the SEC's letting somebody else in.
They dropped Ole Miss a spot.
Oh. That's because their coach is leaving. I mean, dude, they said that they would. But they did. They said that if you have any kind of issue with your team, then it's going to count against you. An injury? A coach leaving?
Swapping spots with Oregon, I don't really hate that.
Yeah.
Because Oregon went out and won a tough road game.
Yeah.
It was home. It was at Oregon, right?
It was at Oregon.
But it was a tough game. And Ole Miss played, what, Mercer?
Yeah.
Right. No, it makes sense. Totally.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how tough it is to win a game at Autzen Stadium.
Just don't forget.
It only happened once this year.
Like I said earlier, and we won't get into this, but let's not forget that all these SEC teams played hard-ass schools the first game of the year, and Oregon played Montana State. Nobody talks about that the first week of the year. That's what pisses me off. They always talk about it towards the end when everyone's all sucked up into it. But at the beginning of the year, how come no one talks about when Texas is playing Ohio State?
I'll give you this.
And
year,
Oregon's playing Montana.
Let's see what happens when the SEC goes to a 9-game schedule next
year. And that's going to be fun. I'm ready for that.
Well, I just want to see how they schedule their non-conference because I know Georgia's already trying to buy out of the Louisville game.
Yeah, they are. Well,
it doesn't – I mean – unless they change the way that they do the playoff, it does you no good to schedule difficult games early in the season.
And I've touched on this several times. I think the school that this is going to hurt more than anyone is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I think teams are just going to stop scheduling Notre Dame. Yeah. USC's already talked about backing out of that rivalry.
They don't want to play them.
They don't
want to
play them. The only thing they're going to get is those five ACC teams a year, which does nothing for
them. And Purdue.
Ooh, I love Bama playing Ole Miss. Let's go.
They'll play Purdue.
Yeah.
They'll play Navy.
Will Purdue continue to schedule them?
I think so.
Because that's
I mean,
what do they have to gain from it?
Well,
if you want to win six games and make a
now,
bowl game.
Now, that's a good point, because I was thinking, what difference does it make? But if they get to a level of respectability, which I think they will under Odom, the first couple of years, it'd be important to have another game that's a possible win, and that's not going to be a possible win for them anytime in the relative future.
I'm
going to
tell you
think.
How this Notre Dame's going to make this work. They've got that massive deal with NBC. They're going to start paying some of these big Power 5 teams to come schedule. Like, they'll probably be like, hey, Michigan, here's $5 million to play us. And Michigan will be like, all right, we'll
you
take
know,
it.
In a few years, and this is an interesting thought, I hadn't really thought about this, and I don't remember what year it starts, but in a few years, there's supposed to be a home-and-home with IU and Notre Dame.
Surprised that that's not gonna happen. I'll tell you that.
I would be shocked if
you're
that,
buying out of Virginia and home and homes, then
and,
you're gonna get out of the
and
Notre
Louisville
Dame. And Louisville, but that was before SIG,
right?
So, but yeah, the what was it, Virginia, and who was the other one? Wake Forest,
who you talking about?
Yeah, the teams that
because
Indiana got out
Indiana
of.
Has played Wake Forest in the past, and there may have been yeah. a reciprocal thing, like 9 years later yeah. you're supposed to play again or whatever.
And hey, so kudos to Wake Forest, sense. Who is 8-3 this year, playing well.
Yeah, and I mean, none of us had that at the beginning
no,
of the season.
No, not at all.
Still
so,
not going to talk about them.
At the end of the night on Last Call, I have my Dirt Bowl Final Four.
Okay.
Four worst teams in the country.
All right.
P versus Butler.
Let's.
Was that Western versus
four, four worst teams in the five best in the five, top five CFP conferences.
Let's talk about these games. Like we said, there's not a ton with playoff implications, but there are a few. So let's go ahead and talk about those. As we said, it is rivalry week, and the biggest game with playoff implications clearly is Ohio State-Michigan. The game's at Michigan. Michigan has had a tremendous amount of success against Ohio State in the past few years. Last year being a prime example of a team that really had no business beating them. They went into the horseshoe and won. This year the game is in the Big House. Michigan is a 10-point underdog at home. I think it opened at like 11.5. I think it's moved to 10. Guys, what do you think about this?
Not a lot I can say about Ohio State because I've watched 9 quarters of them play football this year.
Right.
And 4 of them was against Texas. So
I think Julian Sayin's going to walk into a loud place here.
I think the thing that gets me is like Matt Patricia as their defensive coordinator. Is their defense better than it was last year?
Like you'll get some national arguments that
yeah.
say that it is.
People are saying that. I haven't watched enough of Ohio State yet, which is crazy because the season's over with. To give an analysis on them, I feel they haven't
yeah.
played in any meaningful.
They just haven't been tested in so
yeah.
long.
Yeah,
like the biggest test that they've had of a recent vintage is when they hosted Penn State and it was close for a half, and
yeah.
you know that was at Ohio State, and you know that's the thing. Like everybody. And I'm with you, Tuna, because everybody keeps telling me, or not telling me, but I keep hearing how this is the most dominant team in all of college football, and they very well might be. But I have no idea because I haven't seen them play anybody worth a damn in 2 months or
last
more.
Year, you could look at Ohio State and tell that they were the best team in college football. This year, the 9 quarters I've seen, I haven't seen it, but I don't know.
No.
Like, maybe it's... There,
which I think
we'll find out this weekend. I'm probably going to watch a lot of this game.
Do you not think? I think they have maybe. I've seen four. I've seen the best defensive players in the country. I've seen one of them plays for Ohio State. Caleb Downs
yeah.
by far is, I think, maybe the best. You got your guy at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You have your guy at IU, and you have your guy at Oklahoma.
Are you just talking?
Okay, I'm just talking about
secondary.
No, I'm talking about overall. Like there's a defensive lineman for Oklahoma that's unreal. IU roughly has two that are unbelievable. Texas Tech has two.
IU's entire front.
Right, I know, but really, want guys that stand out, and I can't even give you their names. I can give you their numbers. But Caleb Downs, in my opinion, if they gave out a defensive player of the year, it would probably go to him, the safety. But no, do they have corners that are going to get drafted in the first round, Ohio State? Not really. Michigan has this new wide receiver the last few games that's coming on big time. I never even heard of him. I had missed him the last three games. But this is going to be a pound 'em. And I think a lot of the big house is going to have to be involved in this. Noise, trying to get that quarterback, and who can stop the wide receiver, who can stop Jeremiah.
You talked about the best defenders, and you didn't mention my boy at Texas Tech.
I said Texas Tech.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't hear
Texas
that.
Tech, IU, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, in my opinion.
Oklahoma's defensive front is crazy.
But so is IU's.
Yeah.
Really is. Like, I know you're close to the team, Travis, so it's hard to look at it like.
Right. We're looking at it.
Yeah, we're looking at it as, like, just fans and, like, okay, this team's really damn good. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know, like, when it's your team, it's almost like I can't look at it like that. But, yeah.
Right.
From an outside perspective, you guys. You guys are stacked, man.
Well, and we talked about let's stay in the Big Ten and quickly and talk about this Oregon Washington game. Oregon's only favored by 6.5. We know Washington can be a very difficult place to play. Their fans are going to be crazy. It's going to be a wild environment. It is a 3:30 game. It's the 3:30 CBS game of the week, apparently. I think Oregon will win, but it will not shock me in the least if Washington comes out of there winning that.
Washington's
ball game.
Really kind of on a second roll. They were on a roll at the beginning of the year. They maybe had some injuries or whatever. They went down. Now they're back and they are winning. They lost like to Michigan. They got knocked in the teeth. That's an ice bath game, as Tuna would say. They came out flat the next week, and now they've regrouped and they're playing really well.
Well, the inexcusable loss for them, and I know it's weird and the weather was crazy, was that they got beat at Wisconsin, and that was after they had throttled Illinois.
Yeah, just
and
weird.
Had played Michigan tight. I mean, the score was 24-7 in that Michigan game, but it was a tight game going into the fourth quarter. They throttled Rutgers. They throttled Maryland. They gave up it was a respectable score against Ohio State, 24-6.
And they held them for a while. They pulled away in the fourth quarter.
And then, of course,
I'm going to chalk it up as some of them West Coast boys don't know how to process too much dairy. And when they were in Wisconsin, they all just had stomach issues. That's the only thing I can
That was the weirdest
and
game.
And the wind was blowing 50 mile an hour, and it was raining sideways.
Right.
So
they're
more used to a drizzle out there.
But they've throttled Purdue and UCLA the last 2 weeks, so they haven't really been tested. But it's a great bounce back after that disappointing loss to Wisconsin to come back and throttle both of those teams. The way they did, I look for this game to be very close, a fourth quarter, a one-score game. I guess Vegas would agree with that.
Be interesting to see if Oregon gets any of those receivers back that they still don't have. I feel like when they get the – and you know me, I'm an Oregon hater right now. I don't want them in the tournament. I bet them to the under on their season, and I'm at a push right now. I don't need 10.5. I bet 10.5. They're at 10, and if they lose this game, they're out of the playoff, which I said would also happen. And I'm pulling against them, Tuna. I am too. But I'm waiting for these receivers to get healthy, and then we have a whole nother story.
I am too.
I mean, they're not going to get
Dan Lanning take the LSU job.
Yeah. But I, dude, fun game. Can't wait. All these games work out so great on my TVs outside. The 12 o'clockers are perfect. There's three, bam, bam, bam. At 3:30, there's three, bam, bam. And then you got the two games at night that are, it's going to be wonderful.
And speaking of night, let's just go ahead and get your game out of the way, Fred.
Well, sure. Just kick it to the curb.
It certainly, you know, from a Bama perspective, is all important. And I know that from an Auburn perspective, when you're 5-6, they have a chance to get bowl eligible. But, it, you know, anytime you could be play spoiler against Alabama if you're Auburn, that makes your season. 7:30 game on ABC. Mm. Auburn is a 6-point underdog. Looks like the weather's going to be nice, 60 degrees and relatively sunny. Fred?
It's going to be pink out there.
The floor is yours.
The sky's going to be pink and aqua. You know, I would say Oregon's the best 5-6 team in the country.
Auburn.
Did I say Auburn?
You said Oregon.
Oh, sorry. I'm still thinking about Dan. Auburn, I think, is the best 5-6 team out there. I'm telling their defense is top 10 in the country.
They look good against UK.
Well, everyone has a stinker, Tuna.
They played good,
except for Louisville. They did. Have five.
They did play well against Vanderbilt.
Right. Oh, dude. Well,
they are. I'm just giving.
I know. And dude, let's be real. Auburn has beaten a 8-3 TCU team at TCU, first game of the year. Put that in your pie hole, Dan Lanning. That's another SEC tough battle, first game of the year, and they should get some credit for that. TCU
played North Carolina first game.
No, they didn't. I have it all written
here.
No,
they kicked the shit out of Bill Belichick week one.
No.
Week
two.
Okay.
Week two. I'm sorry. Yeah. Week two, but yes, they did play them.
We were all excited to watch that.
Yeah, remember Michael Jordan was there?
Yeah. I know. Okay. It was week two.
That was week zero, actually.
Yes.
No, it was week one. Wasn't it? It was Monday night standalone game on week one.
It was, it was
Sunday
when I.
Sunday night was Notre Dame.
It was when I flew out Miami. Remember, I couldn't watch it because I was in air.
Out
west.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Right, but what I'm getting at, let's get to Auburn. Look, they've got two quarterbacks. I'm not sure which one's going to play. One of them can run. You know how Tuna, Travis, you know what Bama has trouble with. With the exception of unicorns falling from the sky, it's a quarterback that can run around and give somebody fits with the fake handoff, play action. It is trouble. Tuna, I went down, I started looking. Oh, by the way, they have two wide receivers named Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton. And I will tell you right now that they are come draft day, will be in the top 10 easily. Of the best wide receivers in the country, they're about one of them. Looks
Cam
like
Coleman's
Ralph
like
Sampson.
6'6" or something.
Yeah,
like
Ralph
that.
Sampson out there.
Yeah.
And of course, these guys have had decent years. They have 6 touchdowns. One of them has 5. They should have more. Mm-hmm. But I mean, really, like this is, you know, now you think they're going to play hard in this
Put
game?
Put those two out at Oregon and see what happens.
I hear you. Exactly. So they have the two of the best wide receivers in the country. Then you've got, what's the running back that's been playing good? Tuna Cobb. Mm-hmm. Cobb, he's got 1,000 yards on the season. Auburn runs the ball better than Bama does. I can tell you that. Especially with one of these quarterbacks. Like, I'm not sure if it's going to be Daniels. I'm not sure if it's going to be Knight. They've got a linebacker named Atkins that's going to be all SEC. They've got a safety and a corner, Fagans and Pleasant, that are probably going to be all ACC first, second team. So they've got players everywhere. They just haven't meshed. They've had a dumb coach that didn't know how to coach them. Now they have a coach that I don't know what the deal is with that, but on paper they worry me. So I go to Bama on paper, okay? and it just explodes on me, Tuna. Look at the
hell of a way to put it.
Listen
right
to this. Listen to this. Well, here I'm going to respond. Ty Simpson's numbers are fantastic. Uh-huh. They are fantastic. I mean, you look at the quarterback for Auburn. He's you know, one has 500 yards, one has 300. All his stats are incredible. Yes, he hasn't played good the last couple games. They've kind of been a funk, haven't been able to run the ball. The rushing on the stats does not pop out. But I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to win the trenches in this game. And I think Bama comes through. And I'm going to tell you right now, I told you all that Bama was going to lose this game at the beginning of the year. I think we're going to win by 10.
I think you're like Rick Pitino. when Rick Pitino's talking about his opponent, like, he'll start out and be like, this is the best team that we've ever played. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was about to say, I was having flashbacks to Lou Holtz when he was at Notre Dame, and they'd be playing like
Louisiana
Texas.
Lafayette.
Yeah, just somebody going to go, this team is an unbelievable football team.
Yeah.
It's going to take everything we got.
Like a great stadium.
God, he was a treasure, guys. Yeah.
But you know what? One thing that worries me is our special teams has not been playing good.
No.
Our kicker is 50-50. He'll make one and miss one. So I go look at Auburn's kicker.
Don't miss it short.
Oh, sure. Auburn's kicker, wouldn't you know, is one of the best in the freaking country. Dude, I really think it's probably going to come down to something like that, and I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to comment on it. So, we win, we're in. We lose. With our loss to Florida State, we're out. It's that simple. Michigan wins over Ohio State, they're in. Michigan loses, they're out. And these are why the two best rivalries in sports exist. And they normally both come down to these situations. And I'm not going to tell you that Ohio State Michigan does it more, and I'm not going to tell you that Bama Auburn does it more, but I guarantee you they're about tied on that game meaning everything.
I agree.
And here it is, both of them again.
Yep.
So here we go. Roll damn Tide!
How about, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, but Texas is a 2.5-point underdog, welcoming in Texas A&M, 7:30 at night, ABC.
Ooh.
I assume I'm so out of the loop. Is that where game day is going this week? Are they at?
Well, it's a Friday night game.
Yeah, this is a Friday night. Don't forget, yeah, guys.
It is Friday.
Yeah, don't forget, people. Friday night slate is as good as Saturday.
You know what?
Friday all day.
I'm telling you.
I even had it on my notes here. The big arrow pointing to the word Friday, and of course, I completely ignored my own notes.
Oh, I think it's funny because this is the rivalry that used to be one of my favorites, and then the SEC ruined it, and then now it's the biggest rivalry in the SEC, and we get to watch it. So the SEC brought these two together.
They did.
So they took one away, and they quit playing each other, and then now they're both
and
together.
And now they're both, yeah.
And I don't know. I love this game. This has always been one of my favorites. And I just don't think this year that Texas is going to hold up to them.
I'm with you.
I think this is maybe the bet of the weekend.
Do
Texas
you really?
A&M.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I really do. I think, look, Texas A&M's defense is great. They're going to wear down. And this is going to be, not to bring up harsh memories, Travis, but this is going to be similar to the Chiefs-Colts game where you're going to have long, sustained drives wearing a defense out. And then those long,
be
sustained
like
drives are going to open up to monster plays for Marcel Reed like they always do.
Are there going to be like four horse shit roughing the passer calls in this game?
There might be a touchdown taken off the board on a fake face mask.
Let me ask you a question. If Texas A&M loses...
I didn't watch any of the game. I'm totally messing with you.
Are they still in the championship? In the SEC championship? If Texas A&M loses this game, Are they still in the SEC championship?
Yeah, I mean,
I would think so.
I don't know. I mean, what's the tiebreakers? If Bama's sitting there with one loss, Georgia's sitting there with one loss.
Ole Miss.
And Georgia never played Texas A&M.
That's what I'm saying. So what's the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I have no idea. It'll have to go down into the dregs of the tiebreak scenario.
Well, they'll find a way to screw Elko.
Don't forget, Miami's going to get every call known to man this weekend.
Miami.
I'm just saying, when it comes down to a conference trying to get their team into the playoff, I know that just made me think of something.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's for sure going to happen.
Yeah.
Because these are conference officials calling these games.
Right.
So that's Friday night, 7:30.
Yeah,
Friday
baby.
Afternoon at 3:30. Which this game would have been a much, much sexier had Georgia Tech held up their end of the bargain last week. But still, you've got Georgia. Is this game played on campus at Tech?
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Okay. I thought that was probably the case. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a wild number of Georgia fans there. So it's not a home field advantage for Tech at all. And it's a 13.5-point spread. Tech's defense has been atrocious.
So bad.
Down the stretch. Like, atrocious.
They're
going to
get picked apart in this one.
And, yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. Anybody have any differing opinions that they think that Tech can make this a ball game?
I think they had a better shot last year.
I'm not
going
to take it out of the realm of possibility just because last year we didn't think it was going to be close.
That's true.
Georgia was a much better football team last year.
Totally agree.
I think Georgia Tech is a better football team this year, but their defense is playing like shit, and they haven't been good in the last couple weeks. But there's more talent.
I think Georgia's better this year than they were last year.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay.
I think they're really purring right now. I think they may be the hottest team besides Notre Dame right now. And just the teams that are coming up the ladder, not IU or Ohio State, who are just stagnant, sitting there waiting.
Right.
Maybe even hotter than A&M. I think Stockton is way more. I mean, he's
a different player than he was.
Yeah,
like
he only had a few games. He only had a few games under his belt in that game.
He just came in right in the playoffs.
I know.
Right.
I see Georgia coming through and winning this.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I see it too. But I'm just saying, like, the idea of an upset or a close game, at least, is not out of the realm of possibility.
Yep.
How the hell did Nebraska get 7-4?
Everybody's hurt.
No, I'm just saying, how do they have a winning record?
I don't know.
I just happened to look at that. That's funny.
I think the Big Ten, you get across from the top, and it's just been...
They got whooped by Penn State last week.
Yeah.
And now we all know Penn State's been playing a lot better football. Fine. But if you are Nebraska and you're Rule and you just signed that extension and you telling everybody you know, the glory days we're right on the cusp of the glory days and everything, you cannot go out there and get whooped the way that they did. You just can't.
Watching Nebraska.
And I was not playing very good either.
Thinking that Matt Rhule was going to leave and go to Penn State. And then now they're like, we don't really want him.
Yeah. Are you still interested in that Penn State job?
Watching all that transpire has been great.
Indiana has their rivalry game, as we touched on earlier. Mm-hmm. That's Friday night also, which is weird to me, but
keep going Friday nights.
It's at 7:30.
Yeah.
It's the NBC game.
It's going to be fun.
IU comes in a 28.5-point favorite.
This game will be over with in the first half.
Purdue has looked awful for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
But they are not the worst team in it. They're not one of the top four worst teams in.
Well, I can't wait to hear who you have on that list they got to be close.
They could if there was an 8-team playoff, they would have made it.
I of course am very interested in the Vanderbilt Tennessee game, which is 3:30 on ESPN. Tennessee, a 3-point favorite. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. I love Vanderbilt in this game, unsurprisingly. But
we're opposite sides on this one.
LSU, Oklahoma, we talked about that. That's not much of a game.
Skip Friday games?
Well, he's all over the place.
Okay.
We're doing some Friday and some Saturday.
The Friday slate is noon, Utah and Kansas. Noon is, and this was.
Are you skipping the Egg Bowl?
No, he's getting to it right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to it because I have a whole other.
Oh.
I have a whole other thing to talk about with this Egg Bowl scenario.
It pisses me off so much.
It is absolutely ludicrous that this game is a nooner.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely ludicrous that
they
this
took
game
away
is a nooner.
My memories of Thanksgiving
yes,
evening.
Yes, it is meant. This game is meant to be played at night that Friday.
Yes.
Thursday night.
With a fire going. And
like, we don't need the third NFL game. Give us the Lions and the Cowboys during the day. And let everybody tune in for the damn Egg Bowl on Thursday night.
There is 0% reason that this game is being played at noon on a Friday. I almost can't believe it that they would do that when you have all this tradition and the history, and it was always something to look forward to. The games were always stupid. They were like MAC games.
And it was under the lights that made that game what it was.
Absolutely.
Man. Like from DK Metcalf picking his leg up and peeing in the end zone. And like everything was just,
You don't think that Mississippi State have a better chance to win this game if it was at night?
Yes.
On Thursday night,
after everybody's tailgating with turkey and stuffing and booze all day, and then, like they get their cowbells out there, and like, well, it's gonna be noon after everybody's been drinking and partying all day on Thanksgiving.
I know.
Like, what?
Everybody's gonna be tired.
Yeah, we gotta get out there and like tailgate at 9 a.m. to get ready for this game. Yeah. Like, it's terrible.
It does have a little extra pep in its step, though.
How are they supposed to go Black Friday shopping? in Mississippi. Walmart in
Walmart's
Mississippi is
closed.
Pissed.
Done.
They are pissed.
Walmart, Ross, TJ Maxx, done.
But of all the games that I've been upset about that have been nooners this year, this is the number one to me.
Hands down.
That I'm upset that this is a nooner.
For sure.
Agree.
For sure. And there's been a few of them. You're right, Travis. There has been.
Well, you know, I'm a big, and I think we all are, but I'm a big game times matter guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this one, the game time matters in this game, and it should always be at night. Always. Mm-hmm. I don't even want this game at 3:30. This game has to be at night.
And with all this stuff around it, you would think that they would have moved it to 3:30 at least, if not night. Not at 12 o'clock. With all the – everyone's eyes are going to be glued to this with all the Kiffin stuff. And for them to still keep it at 12 – now, I know the Iron Bowl, there's a lot of implications there. I knew that would be 3:30 or 7:30. I was hoping that would be 3:30.
This is
Saturday, but I'm talking about
– right.
This could have been on its own night, like Tuna said.
I always think that the Iron Bowl should be at 3:30.
I do, too.
It should be at 3:30, and it should be on CBS.
Right, it should.
I know that can't happen anymore.
Right.
But it should be a 3:30
right.
game.
Not yeah, yeah. But
the Egg Bowl should be at night.
Thanksgiving, 7:30. On ESPN. Yes. Gosh dang it. I've seen Tuna throw a carcass out in the yard on Thanksgiving night over this.
This of all the things in college football, this pisses me off more than anything. More than conference realignment, I think. I really believe that.
I mean, like Georgia Tech, just for instance, 3:30 on this
that's
day.
That's a noon game if I'd ever
that
seen
that is the biggest game. Noon yes. game I've ever seen. And they could have easily moved Ole Miss, Mississippi State to at least 3:30.
Well, because they're both on ABC. So,
right.
I mean, it doesn't make that much difference.
It's just crazy that they didn't do that with all the Kiffin stuff circulating and all that, because people's eyes will be watching this game. Now at 12 o'clock, I'm not sure that they're going
to
be.
My goodness, look at what Indiana's doing to Kansas State right now.
I'm telling you, man, you are a good basketball
team,
dude.
Travis, I don't like to see that. I did bet against you tonight.
Dude, you just hate DeVries, man. Darren, what was his name? Darren DeVries?
Well,
DeVries.
No, I hate Kansas's DeVries. Coach way well, more than that. But, you know I do.
Yeah, you're not a Jerome Tang guy.
No, but Kansas State's a good team. That's some drumming going on right there because Kansas State's pretty
they
good.
They only spend a bunch of money on talent, but the last 2 years is not paying out. So. Well,
anyway, that was that.
Anyway,
was,
a good late game, 9 o'clock. Even though Arizona State's ranked 25th, Arizona has won 5 in a row. Mm-hmm.
It's 2-8-3 teams.
2-8-3 teams at 9 o'clock on Friday, which will be fun after the IU game. That'll be the last.
Do these teams even hate each other?
I don't think they do.
I don't know if they do.
I think they golf together and stuff. Chase
they
women,
all have, like,
chase girls.
Women on
yeah,
campuses.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Arizona State is a 2.5 point underdog.
Yes. 1.5.
Yeah.
Has it moved?
Arizona is a 1.5 point favorite right now. Yeah. So Arizona State's a 1.5 point underdog.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have Arizona State as a 2.5 point underdog.
Yeah, I do too. And Arizona is beating.
But
teams
I'm looking
handily.
On CBS, not on FanDuel.
Now Arizona State's coming off a bye, and Arizona is beating teams handily.
Mm-hmm.
That coach, and it ain't Jed Fish, whoever that coach is, has done one hell of a job at Arizona.
We bring his name
we
up all the time.
We bring his name up all the time.
Bobby,
we forget
Bobby
it.
Bennett or something?
Bobby Bennett.
I think it's Bobby Bennett.
Bobby Bennett. I think it is
I don't
Bobby
know,
Bennett.
Dude. But, like, I feel bad because we never get his name right on
we
here.
We don't.
So.
But here, I still have my coaches list in here. I can't remember what I did.
Brent Brennan.
Sorry.
Did you say Bobby Boucher?
This is a blockout sports pod trope. Because every single time we have talked about Arizona football over almost 200 or 150 shows that we have done, every single time, we butcher his, like, we always kind of remember his name, but we never really.
I got the double B's, man.
Yeah, it's
we never
B's.
Really remember
yeah.
his name. And so every time it's something different. Yeah. I think one time I called him, like, Bill Bennett or Bill Benefee or something like that. It does, every time we bring his name up, I should write his name and stick it. Right here in front of the master control desk.
I'm with you, man.
So that I can just look at it and go no, and quite frankly,
put it up there with the tuna helper.
Yeah,
but at least they're at least we're talking about Arizona. So
yeah.
That's right. Any other games that we haven't talked about? I know
nope,
that
none.
There's. Maybe a group of
no,
five.
Well, San Diego State's 9-2 going to the third team in the conference, New Mexico, who's 8-3, who's having a great year. That's at New Mexico. That game could have some implications if Tulane were to lose, North Texas were to lose. San Diego State's been blowing people out. I've been betting them. They've been winning. They're going to go. They can go 10-2. And this is a win that will boost them up a little bit just as a – group of five chat there.
Well, I know that Freddie has a little bit, something a little bit extra to offer here. And as we are getting close to the end of the program, I want to have a couple extra minutes so that Freddie can regale us with his dirt bowl.
This is called the poop tart bowl.
Bottom four, the poop tart bowl.
This
so
is the poop
I'm going to go
tart
ahead
bowl.
And call it right now. It's last call. We're going to start with Fred. Give us that and your picks, please, sir.
Okay, the Poop Tart Bowl is – I went through and looked at the worst teams. I went and did some research, found out who are the worst teams in the major conferences, even group of five. Everyone involved in the CFP, who are the four – poop tart teams that made the poop tart Final Four.
The worst team in all of
yes.
It has to be
of BCS whatever.
Let me guess. The absolute worst team has to be UMass.
Yes, they are. UMass gets the number 4 seed. UMass happened to be the only team that went 0-11.
Yeah.
Okay, now some of these teams went 2-9, and you'll be like, "Wow!" Or well, so far, but we're gonna go through Boston College. We got an ACC representative in there, Tuna, 1-10. Boston College gets in.
I'm gonna disagree with this one because they're playing good football.
I get it. They could possibly win this poop.
Yeah, they would.
We got a core.
I think they'd beat Purdue.
Yeah, I do too.
Of course, we've got Georgia State, who is a group of 5 representative in here with UMass, 1-10. And then, of course, the other highly seeded team is the team that started off horrendously, fired their coach before anyone else. And that would be the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who went 1-10. So you can switch
them around. I'm not going to disagree with that one.
But if we went through the whole thing, I think BC would play Oklahoma State in the final. And wouldn't you think BC would win the Poop Tart Bowl? Yes. I would put money on Boston College.
I would too.
Yeah, okay.
I do too. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you have it. That is the worst 4 teams. And then I also wanted to say one thing that I missed on here was I did have a situation for Vandy, who was – I know they were 14th at the time. They may have changed. But Vandy needs a BYU loss, a Miami loss, or a Utah loss. And I think after I did all my homework, if they win, they're in. If one of those – if Bama does what they're supposed to do, then I think Vandy's in if one of those three lose. If Bama loses, then there's both of those – or Bama's out, but Vandy's still trying to get in there if they were to win.
Right.
So BYU, Miami, and Utah games are what you got to keep an eye on if you're a Vandy fan. And then my final scenarios, everyone hates Notre Dame, right? They're causing trouble. They just pushed my Bama team to 10th instead of 9th. No one knows who they're going to play. Tuna says that no one's going to want to play them, or that they're going to get hurt, or they're going to have issues next year. Well, here's my scenario. So there's 2 independent teams in the country right now. 2 of them. All right? They're both 9-1. I just want – one of them's 9-2. One of them's 9-3. They're both – one of them's 6-1 as an independent in the conference, if you want to call it that. One of them is 6-0 in the independent conference.
How are they independent and in the conference?
If you look under independents, 2 teams pull up, UConn and Notre Dame.
So, but how are they in the conference when you say they're 6-1 in the conference?
Well, they show in that independent slot – that they are 6-1 and 6-0.
Isn't the conference just UConn and Notre Dame?
And they'd
have to play each other.
But they show this. I have it written down.
I think what you show or
they're showing
something's wrong because
but
you
they're showing it.
You
they're,
can't have 6 conference wins.
I understand that. I understand, but there's something. Maybe the teams that they're playing are. I don't know how that works.
I don't know.
But all I'm saying
is if
Notre Dame is 9-2 and UConn's 9-3 and they're both in the independent conference, why in the hell aren't they playing each other? How about we get together and let UConn, and since Notre Dame doesn't have to play anybody, why don't they play the other independent school in their championship?
They probably will in the future. I'm saying once all these teams go to 9-game conference schedules, which – the SEC does next year, and the ACC does in 2 years.
Right.
Here's what it is, Fred. Notre Dame is 9-2. UConn is 9-3. The way they have them ranked is because they have Notre Dame at 6-1 at home.
Oh, okay.
They have UConn at
6-0
at home.
Yeah.
And then they have
that's what it was.
Notre Dame at 3-1 on the road and UConn at 3-3 on the road.
And I think those two schools this weekend should be playing each other.
Oh, for an independent championship.
Yes, okay. Since Notre Dame doesn't play anybody.
I see what you're saying.
And that might be a hell of a game. You never know. That could be an upset of epic proportions. Okay, anyways, that's all. I just thought that was funny when I looked at the independents, and I'm like, well, those two teams are both doing well.
Yeah.
All right, picks, Fred.
Picks for Fred. All right.
This is where it always goes dark.
It does go dark because dark. I never write them down.
It just takes them by surprise every time you
I
ask.
Never write them down. But I am going to go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I am going Utah minus the 11.5. They are playing at Kansas, a 5-6 team. I just don't see it going anywhere. Kansas is dismal. They're just not playing good. I've got the Hoosiers at Purdue. Colin, I knew this would make you happy. Minus 26. 28. All right. minus 20, whatever it is. Then we're going to go Texas A&M, Tuna's pick. At Texas, I got them at minus 2. I know that's minus 4.5 probably.
It's 2.5.
Oh, it's 2.5. Okay. Damn, I didn't get
it. So you're taking A&M, not Texas.
I'm taking A&M. Okay. I'm taking A&M. And then in the Egg Bowl, I'm going with Ole Miss, minus 6.5.
I can't deliver a pick on that one.
I hear you. And then my other pick, Travis, I am going to go with Oklahoma at home, 9-2, against a dismal LSU team. Sorry, Josh and Johnny, but you guys won over Western 13-10. I'm going with Oklahoma -10. Yeah.
All right, Tuna, last call.
Last call. There is one more game we didn't mention, and I'm not going to spend time on it, but we're going to talk about game times. I feel like the Governor's Cup this year should be played at 3:30 in the morning.
How did we not talk?
Because there's nothing to talk about.
Well, and I even mentioned before we went on the air,
this is going to be one of the worst games played in all of college football
season.
Yeah,
it's not going to be good.
Can I say one thing about that?
No. Yes, go ahead. I want to hear it.
I have a prediction in this game. At the beginning of the game, everybody's gonna wake up. The game's at 12:00. One reason is because it's a dismal game. Second reason is don't think they want a lot of people drinking heavily into the night. And I'll tell you why. Because the beginning of this game, the dream game, the UofL-UK basketball game has already happened. So tensions have been back and forth about that game. UK basketball is not playing very well right now. There's issues there. UofL's humming away. This game at the beginning, everyone's going to be drinking their drinks, going, oh, we suck. Yeah, we suck too. Man, we really blew it. Yeah, we got whooped by Vandy, da-da-da. And then the game's going to kick off. And somebody's going to take the lead. And someone might be up by about 14 or whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, I would not want to be at that place.
I think you're giving this too much credit over to this. I think both fans are in complete apathy right now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I think
this has no feel like any other Governor's Cup.
I'm saying UofL fans, they want this win so bad so they can just put a button on the season. And I think UK's
Ohio
the same
State,
way.
Michigan playing at noon.
No.
And they're not worried about their fans being drunk wanting to kill each other.
No. Yeah. That's a different thing. They're going to be into a tight game.
I just don't think the fans are engaged in this one. I know I'm personally not.
Well, all the dumb fans are going to fight then.
Well,
put it that way. I'm telling you, if UK's up 14, the smack talking's going to happen, and the Louisville fans ain't going to take it.
I mean, what they're playing, Louisville's playing like they're four string at every position. Like, what do you want? I don't think it matters.
We've already spent too much time talking about this.
I completely agree,
Picks.
Travis. Well, one more thing. Yeah. If you have not, like, must watch TV for a sporting event, I know it sounds weird, Iowa State women's basketball, we haven't mentioned her yet, Audie Crooks.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
She is dominating every I mean, she only plays like 17, 18 minutes a game. But when she gets out there, she makes it happen. Yep. She is must-see.
We love her.
If you see it, tune in for it. Picks. I'm going to get through these quick because I know we're crunched here. Texas A&M minus the 2.5. That's my favorite bet of the weekend. Clemson plus 3 at South Carolina. Big rivalry game that we didn't mention. I like Clemson to get this on his Dabo swan song. BYU minus the 17.5 against at home versus Central Florida. Central Florida's checked out.
They have.
Done.
And then Tennessee to cover the 2.5 to go against Travis Carter and his fighting Commodores. Anchor up. And then Florida State plus 1.5 against Florida.
Oh, God.
Florida
That is a turd
plus
game.
+1.5
Oh, my against God. Florida.
That's almost like one of my like my Michigan State UCLA bet.
Yeah, that was a Colin special.
Exactly.
Oh my God!
That was my ACC version of the Colin special.
Oh God!
All right, I'm going to give my picks first. Typically, I save mine for last, but I'm going to save Colin's for last this week. So, my picks this week, I have Oklahoma. Minus 10 against LSU.
Yes.
I am, for the first time all season, taking Indiana. I'm taking them to cover the 28.5 against Purdue.
Boom.
I am taking Vanderbilt as a 2.5-point underdog against Tennessee. And I'm going with my heart here a little bit. I'm taking Western Kentucky to cover 3 points at Jack State. And then I am taking
the Gamecocks.
I am taking LSU to be under 12.5 team total points in the game against Oklahoma.
Very solid bet.
That's
very
a solid bet.
That may be my TikTok bet this week.
I love that, honestly.
Now, Colin, he sent me his picks earlier.
Gross, dude.
And he said, this is the tuna special.
He said,
I'm making these picks for tuna.
Oh, God, they're going to be extra gross.
He's taking Indiana to cover the 28.5.
Of course.
Started out with
you
an
gotta
appetizer.
Have that one.
He is taking Indiana minus 16.5 in the first half.
Oh, wow.
He is taking Purdue under 12.5 total points.
I like all those bets.
He is taking Purdue under 266.5 yards. And he is taking Elijah Surratt as an anytime TD scorer. All five of his bets are the bucket game.
That's a blockout
first. I love all of those.
That's a blockout first. I love it.
And they're all great bets. Yeah. They are.
So, he's probably spent at least 40 hours in the past 2 weeks looking at props.
Oh, yeah. Purdue is able to put points on the board versus teams, but not this team.
The entire drive back, I could just see it right now in the car. Travis is mad as hell listening to the football game driving. Colin's just over here looking at props on his phone.
Actually,
for that game.
You know what's funny? I think Colin, like, you know, me, to me, IU football is it. The Colts, I want them to do well, but I don't really care that much. Mm. Colin was, I had it on the radio. Colin, like, had it synced up on his phone, so he was watching the game. Mm. There's no question. He was way angrier about that game than I was. He was like, this is a terrible call. I can't wait till you see this.
And he was listening to Tony Romo whine about everything. Yeah. That's enough to send anybody over
and
the
Didn't his Giants – weren't his Giants also leading and then fell apart?
Yeah, but we all knew that was going to happen.
God, that was awesome, though. James Winston's must-watch TV also.
But, man, it's rivalry week. The end of the season is here. We're going to be going into conference championships next week. We are, of course, headed to Indianapolis Friday next.
Next Friday, I hope.
Friday next.
and by the way, I may not be here next week, or I will be here. I'm either if you may not see me for a while if.
If Bama loses.
Oh, so, no, we're dragging you.
If you're going to tell me that I'm going to be the last team out a second year in a row, you may need to send me to the hospital.
So we're going to preview our trip to Indianapolis next week. We're going to recap all of the comings and goings in college football this particular weekend. It's going to be a ball. We'll have a lot more clarity on what's going to happen. We'll know who's going to be in the championship games and all of those things. Cannot wait to share that with you all. If you enjoy the show and you think you have a friend that might enjoy the show, please let them know. They can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and a very nervous, fabulous Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.